Last week we started Tzuras HaPesach, so this is where we get down to the nitty-gritty of actually making the Erev. We discussed in theory about how we are able to make an Erev, which kinds of places you can build an Erev, how to do Skiris Rishus from Gayim, and last week we began the discussion of how many actual mechitzos you need, if any, and how much you can get away with making Tzuras HaPesach. But once we're at that stage, where we live in a place that is eligible for an Erev, and we actually need to construct a Tzuras HaPesach, so there are lots and lots and lots of shilas that come up with constructing a Tzuras HaPesach. First, I'll take one that's not as Nogea Lamaisa for us in this community, but has come up in a number of interesting scenarios. And that is the Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara in Masech Zeriv in Daf Yud Aleph asks why Chazal made a takana for the sake of Oli Regalim called Pase Biraos. The Gemara has a discussion in Erevin that if you're bringing your animals up and you're and it comes Shabbos and you're traveling and you want to get water from a well to feed your animals, you have a big problem because a well is 10 tefachim deep, 4 by 4 tefachim wide, so whatever's in there is in a Rishus HaYachid. The area that you're traveling is likely a Rishus HaRabim or at least a Carmelis, so you're going to have to take water out of the well, bring it from Rishus HaYachid into a Carmelis or Rishus HaRabim, you're going to have a problem. So they came up with this idea called Pase Biraos, where they, Chazal, allowed, instead of building normal mechitzos, four corner partitions, meaning four partitions that are at a right angle, and each one is only one amma by one amma, and that way you don't have to worry about building a wall around the whole thing. That counts as four walls, even though it's not four full walls, and there's a lot of open space, machlokas tanaim, how much open space, but a lot of open space in between the pase biraos, you can build pase biraos. So the Gemara, Tosos rather, not the Gemara, Tosos asked the Kasha, why do they ever need to do that? Why don't they just take three ropes and make a Tzuras HaPesach on all four sides, meaning just put up poles, and it's easier than the partitions, or it seems easier than the partitions. So that's the kasha that Tosfos asks. Now, based on the two answers that Tosfos gives, it could lead us to an interesting discussion. First, Tosfos says, "V'lufi shalohayim miskayim kolkach mishum da'asu gamli v'shadulei v'gam bekal yachal lipol bruach shein ha'metzuya l'fi shayit shichon lagbiyo menagbalam ha'nechlasim sham lishtos." First answer Tosfos gives is very practical. They were traveling. When they traveled, they rode on camels. I don't know if you've ever been on a camel before. I have once in Israel. I don't remember the context exactly, but I remember being scared. So if you've ever been on a camel, those things are very high, and you'd have to build a very, very tall Tzuras HaPesach for the camel not to knock it down when he walks through. Plus, a Ruach Metzuya could just knock down the Tzuras HaPesach. It's not as easy to construct the Tzuras HaPesach. Much easier to just take a thing like this and a thing like this and just line up one amma by one amma, a couple of boards in the corner, and that it's just practically a much easier thing to do. So they were misakin this idea of Pasi Biraos, because practically it wouldn't work out to make a Tzuras HaPesach. But in a chinami, if you wanted to build the Tzuras HaPesach, because today it would be fine to build the Tzuras HaPesach. That's what it sounds like. Then Tosel says, Va'od de b'shayara ein lahatir kemo b'chatzer shemukav ledira. He says, where do we have Tzuras HaPesach? Tzuras HaPesach is in a place where people live. If you're dealing with a place that people live, so you can construct the Tzuras HaPesach and turn it into and consider them as if it's mechitzos. But you're in the middle of nowhere, you're traveling with your animals, no one lives there, so you're not allowed to make a Tzuras HaPesach there. You need something more than a Tzuras HaPesach, and that's what Chazal came up with, Pasi Biraos. So the Rush quotes that second teretz of Tosfos, the Rush in the first parak of Erevin, and the Ritva and the Rashba, also the Ritva and the Rashba, on the other hand, only quote the first teretz of Tosfos. So it's not just the teretz how to deal with this kasha, it's these two terutzim. What's Tali in these two terutzim is, where do we allow a Tzuras HaPesach? Now in the Yerushalmi says that the Tzuras HaPesach is not matir b'yoser me'eser, because if it would have been matir b'yoser me'eser, if you could allow a Tzuras HaPesach in an area of more than 10 amos, then why would you need to have pasi biraos in the first place? Meaning, the Yerushalmi sounds like the Chiddush of Tosos, that the pasi biraos are working because the Tzuras HaPesach couldn't work in this situation, not just because they weren't so practical. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rush, Shulchan Aruch says, "Va'afilu lo na'at zela arba kundesin ba'arba ruchos va'asa tzuras ha'pesach al gabehen mutter." That it's all you need. You could put four poles, four directions, put a tzuras ha'pesach, and that's fine. However, says Shulchan Aruch, "Va'hanimili b'chatzur mavishish b'mdiyurin." That's only in a place where people live, but that's not in a place where you need it on all four sides and nobody lives there. So it's only when you're makif the bika mikol dalad ruchos from all four sides with the tzuras haPesach, and there's no one that lives in that bika, then it's no good. Now, what's the svara to be mechalik between a place where people live, a place where people don't? If a tzuras haPesach is a mechitza, it's a mechitza. If it's not a mechitza, it's not a mechitza. Why would we be mechalik? So the Levush explains, Vahani mili b'chatzur mavui sheyesh bam diurin v'derech lios sham psachim harbe. A chatzur mavui, when people live somewhere, so it's normal to have a door where you live. It's normal to have multiple doors in your home where you live. You want easy access in and out of your home. But a bika sheba lasos hekav l'taltal b'tocho lo mahani b'shakol aruchos ha'yiditzuras ha'pesach. But it's not as natural in middle of nowhere to just put up a doorpost, right? If you were to just be walking in the middle of the street and see a doorpost in the middle of nowhere, that would be odd. That would be strange to have in the middle of a street just to stand a doorpost in the middle of nowhere. So the doorposts don't accomplish what they would in an area that's designated for living. Meaning in an area that's not designated for living, they don't accomplish as much as they would if they were built in an area that's designated for living. So where does this ever play out, Lamaisa? When do we ever build the Tzuras HaPesach in a place that nobody lives? So Rabbi Simon quotes in Imre Baruch from the first volume of Tchumen. They have a piece there from Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who is, I believe, the grandson of Rav Henkin Zichrono Livracha of Rav Eliyahu Henkin, right? The Gadol Posek Hador before Rav Moshe Feinstein in the United States of America. So I believe his grandson is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote in the first volume of Tchumen, he wrote several Tshuvas Svarim also, Shalosh Tshuvas B'nei Banim, but he wrote in the first volume of Tchumen, and he says as follows. He says, Lefnei arba shanim hikimu hakibutzim hadatiyim asher be'emek beishan tzuras ha-pesach mishnei tzadei hakvish ha-mechaber beinom uvein atzmam uveinam liir beishan. That apparently they built the Tzuras HaPesach on two sides of a street that connect them, this kibbutz, this religious kibbutz, built the Tzuras HaPesach along the street that connects them to another neighborhood, kedei lahatir ha-tiltul v'alicha b'neim b'shabbos, so that they can carry things from their neighborhood out to this other neighborhood on Shabbos. And then other yeshuvim started doing things like this. He said they started doing like this in the Golan, and I've been asked from the southern Israel also. So he says, L'dati asa l'taltal b'shabbos al smach tzuras ha-pesach ha'ela olo lechas mitchutz l'tchum shabbos mishum shetzuras ha-pesach ha'en mo'ilos bibika. V'yesh l'kvish, din bika. If it's a road that just connects two cities, but the road is not part of the city, it's an inter-neighborhood connecting road, it's not, the neighborhood clearly ends, and the road just, so that's a bika, that's the middle of nowhere. A Tzuras HaPesach in that situation does not work, meaning Tosos, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the second daya of Tosos. Then in that situation, the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work. Okay, like I said, that's not so nogeya to our situations of Erev. What is very nogeya to our situations of Erev is that very often when we need to make a Tzuras HaPesach, we use, it saves expenses and trouble and fighting sometimes with arranging for the zoning of an Erev when we can use things that are already there, like phone lines, electrical lines, things like that. So a lot of times you have lines that are running across the whole neighborhood, right down the street, but to the nature of a Tzuras HaPesach, as we've pointed out, is kanamikan v'kan al gabehem. But the phone lines aren't connected like that. They're not running on top of the telephone poles. So what we need to do is, we need to put a pole under them in order to create a Tzuras HaPesach. We'll get to what happens if they sag and whether that's kosher or not kosher, but let's assume that it's a fine kanal gabein. Let's assume that those lines are fine on top, but we need to get poles underneath them. So there is a discussion in the Gemara, do the poles underneath have to reach the top? Or can you take on the side of a telephone pole, take a little 2x4 that's 10 tefachim high, slap it onto the side of the telephone pole, and that way it's underneath the wire that's on top by a lot. It's not touching it. It's underneath, you know, by several feet, but it's under it. It's not touching it, but it's under it. Is that good enough for a Tzuras HaPesach? So the Gemara tells us as follows. Tana, Gemara in Erev in Yiral from Beis. Tzuras HaPesach Sha'amru, Kanamikan, V'Kanamikan, V'Kan Al Gabehen. The way Tzuras HaPesach is supposed to be, like this, and like that. Tzrichen Liga, Oein Tzrichen Liga. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Do they have to touch? Do they not have to touch? Rav Nachman Amar, Ein Tzrichen Liga. So good, first Shita, Rav Nachman, they don't have to touch. It's fine even if they're not touching. Rav Shesha Samar, Tzrichen Liga. Rav Shesha says they do have to touch. So the Gemara tells an odd story. Also Rav Nachman Vavar Uvda Beresh Galusa Kishmaite. So Rav Nachman held they don't have to touch. So he set up an Eruv by the Resh Galusa exactly according to his Shita, where they weren't touching, where the Tzuras HaPesach weren't the side poles, weren't touching the top pole. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Lashamei, Rav Gada, Zil Shlov Shadinu. So Rav Sheshes didn't like it, because Rav Sheshes disagreed, thought it wasn't good. So he told the Shamish, go knock down his Eruv. Go take them all down. That's no good. So Azul Shalav Shadinu. So what does Shamish know? He did what the Rebbe said. So he went and he knocked down the Eruv. Ashkechinu Dvei Resh Kalusa Chavshuhu. The Resh Kalusa, who the Eruv was built for, saw someone vandalizing their Eruv. So they arrested him. Good. Also Rav Sheshes come above us. Rav Sheshes comes knocking on the door. I had a Talmud around here, you know what happened to him. So I'm like, God the Pukta, and he said, and he screamed, I'm here, you know, to rescue you, and they let him out. And Rav Sheshes came to rescue him, they on Rav Sheshes' word, Nafak Vyasa. Ashkeche Rav Sheshes the Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Short time later, Rav Sheshes is walking down the street and he runs into Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Amalei tni mar midi b'tzuras haPesach. So he says to Rabbi Bar Shmuel, did you hear any recent chidushim relating to tzuras haPesach? So Amalei in tanina kippa, and he tells him a whole story about an arched doorway and whether that's a kosher type of a tzuras haPesach for mezuzah. He gives him a whole story. So where essentially the story is that they don't have to touch, that a tzuras haPesach does not really have to, the sides do not have to touch. So I'm like, imishkachas lu lo temelu liberish kalusa v'lamidi mehamis nisa dekipa. Do me a favor, keep this conversation between me and you. You don't have to report this to the Resh Kalusa that you found a raya that I'm wrong. Let's leave that just between me and you. But that's the story. But the bottom line is, so I mean, why is the story important? Because it may indicate how to paskin. Meaning we have a clear machlokas over here. We have Rosh Hashanah of Nachman. So what would you be medayik from this story? How we should paskin. So one way to take it is, well, Rabba Bar Shmuel had a raya that it doesn't need to touch, that it's okay if it doesn't touch. And granted, Rav Shesha said, keep it quiet, but that was just to save face, he said to keep it quiet. But there was apparently a raya that Rav Nachman was correct. The other way to take it is to say that Rav Shesha said, keep it quiet. What, Rav Shesha is only interested in his own honor? No, he's interested in the MS also. He heard the raya, he wasn't so impressed with the raya, and he said, keep that raya under wraps, because I still believe I'm right, and I still want to paskin the way I was paskining. So how do we paskin the halacha? So the Rambam writes, the Rambam paskins like Rav Nachman, that you don't need, the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't need touch. The Rambam in the 16th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos writes, Tzuras HaPesach Hamur B'kol Makom, Hi Afilu Kanu Uchayotzi Bo Mikan, V'kanu Mikan, V'kanu Al Gabehen, Gova Shnei Lechayim Asara Tfachim V'yasar, the two side posts need to be 10 Tfachim or higher, V'kanu Uchayotzi Bo Shal Gabehen, Af Al Pi She'enu Nogea B'Shnei Lechayim, El Yesh B'nein Kama Amos, even though it doesn't touch, and it's not just a little gap, like a less than 3 tefach lavud kind of gap. Kama amos. There could be lots of amos in between. Ho'il v'gova l'chayim asara reizit tzuras haPesach. As long as the lechi, as long as the posts on either side are 10 tefachim, that's all you need. That is a tzuras haPesach. The Rif also passes like this way, like Rav Nachman, that they do not need to teach because of this brisa, the kippa, that Rabbi Bar Shmuel came up with this brisa that supports Rav Nachman, so we pass like Rav Nachman. The Bala Ma'ar disagrees. He says the brisa that the Gemara quotes has nothing to do with the previous machlokas. That's why Rav Shesha said, keep it to yourself, because that brisa was really about mezuzah, and generally speaking, the klal and psak is, we pass like Rav Nachman in Dine Mamanis, we pass like Rav Shesha in Isser Veheter, it's not as well-known a rule or as hard and fast a rule as we have of Hilchsa Kerav B'Isurei and Hilchsa Kishmul B'Dini, but we do have that Rav Nachman was a greater expert in Dina Mamanis, Rav Sheshes was a greater expert in Isur V'Heter. I don't see any clear raya, says the Baal Amar in the Gemara, that we necessarily have to pass like Rav Nachman over here. Absent a raya, the default position is we go with Rav Sheshes. But the Rambam and the Rif paskin l'kula, the Baal Amar paskins l'chumra. So now, how could it work though? Why does this work? Meaning, let's assume like the Baal Amar, like the Rambam and the Rif, which is of course how we're going to assume in Shulchan Aruch, because that's the Shulchan Aruch always goes with the Rambam and the Rif. So let's assume that the Kanami Kan does not need to touch the wire that's running on top. Why not? What do I mean, why not? Meaning, the idea of Tzuras HaPesach is that it should look like a Pesach. Who builds a Pesach that way? That's not the normal way that anyone builds a Pesach. It's a very unusual Pesach. So there are two explanations that Achronim give, and there may be significant Afkaminas La'alacha. One explanation that's given by Achronim is that Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Re'im in the Tshuva that the din that the side doesn't have to touch the top is part of a klal that we have in Hilchos Erev and Hilchos Mechitzos in general called Gur Asik Mechitzta. That as long as a Mechitza starts, we view it as if it goes up and continues straight up all the way up. So as long as you have your pole that goes up, Ten Tfachim, we view the pole as if it continues to go up all the way to the top. So both sides, both posts, Kanami Kan, it's Ki'ilu, they're Ola Lamala, and therefore it's not considered an unusual doorway or a malformed doorway, which is we'll get to also. It's called Pischi Shima'i. The Gemara has a discussion about a doorway that's, let's say, instead of having a straight side post, it goes like this and angles in and out, where it wouldn't be Chayiv in Mezuzah if you have Pischi Shima'i. So this is an unusual doorway. We do not view it as an unusual doorway, rather, because of Gud Asik, we view it as if it's two straight lines straight up, and that's why it's a regular, normal doorway. That's Rabbi Kiveger. Another explanation is offered by the Nesivus, and we referred to this last week. The Nesivus, in his Makor HaChayim and Hilchos Pesach, says there's a Pesach with a Samach, Hilchos the Yontif, not Pesach, as in Tzuras HaPesach. The Nesivus in his Makor HaChayim says that we have to be mechalik between Pesach legabe the Chiyuv Mezuzah versus a Pesach legabe Tzuras HaPesach. That there are two different issues. For Chiyuv Mezuzah and for Tzuras HaPesach, you have different halachas. He says as follows. There's a big difference between Hilchos Erev and Hilchos Mezuzah. And again, we referred to this last week. To be Mezuzah, be in Pesach Mamish. To be Chayiv in Mezuzah, you need a doorway. You need something that's used as an entrance. Ube Erev Kasher Af Tzuras HaPesach. By Erev, we're not looking for a door, we're looking for something that has the basic structural characteristics of a doorway, but it doesn't have to actually be a doorway. Mishum hachi, pischi shimai v'tzuras ha-pesach, einu chayv v'mezuzah. Masha'en kein, be'eruv desagi v'tzuras ha-pesach, kasher b'kanim v'kundesin, av sha'akanim domen mamish, l'pischi mai, sheish b'ma nafim yotzim v'lechnasim kasher. He says that's why the Pischei Shimai, which let's hold off on the Pischei Shimai a little bit, but the Pischei Shimai, which we'll get to later, these malformed doorways, maybe is different, has a different halacha when it comes to mezuzah than when it comes to the halachas of Eruv. But it doesn't have to be an actual functioning doorway. So what do you need? Meaning, according to the Nesivus, the din of Pischei Shimai, of these malformed doorways, is only a din in mezuzah. But by Eruvin, Pischei Shimai would be fine, because you don't need a functional doorway, you just need something that has certain basic characteristics of a doorway. And if that's the case, even though he doesn't spell it out, we understand why it doesn't have to touch. The characteristics it needs are two side poles, which are each 10 tefachim high, and a crossbeam that goes on top of both of them. But it doesn't need to actually function like a regular doorway, whereas a Tzuras HaPesach by mezuzah needs to function like a doorway. And that's what the Nesiva says. You ever see a mezuzah, an Erev put up in a community that has mezuzahs along every Tzuras HaPesach? No, they don't do that. There's no chiyuv mezuzah along every Tzuras HaPesach, because it's a completely different halacha. Good. So that is the basic halacha in Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, like the Rif, that it doesn't actually have to touch, and a lot of community Erevin will rely on this. They'll put up, if you've ever looked around in communities that have different Erevin, I think over here we do not, I mean, I know, at least in the North Woodmere, probably did not rely on it. And for Aqua Lawrence, a while ago, they used to rely on it, and they've undone that. They fixed a lot of that, and we'll see why in a second. Meaning, after all, if we pass on that, it's okay. So what's the problem? So here's where it gets tricky. How do you determine what's al gabehen, what's called on top? Meaning, good asik. How does good asik work? The pole continues, right? But how does it continue? Does it continue on whatever angle it's on, or does it continue straight up? So the halak, meaning, does it just go where, even if it's on an angle like this, it just goes, the good asik, the imaginary wall, goes straight up. And that could be significant nafkaminas, because if it were to continue on, obviously we need it to get underneath the wire that's on top. It needs to be under the wire that's on top. It could angle out past the wire, or sometimes shoot straight up past the wire. So we'd have to see to it that it's aligned. Now, how do you tell if it's aligned? How do you know if this thing could be, these telephone wires are very, very high. You put up a little 10 tefach pole. How are you going to see if it's aligned? So there are two possible answers. What are the two potential ways to check if it's aligned? Well, so one way is a plumb line, right? You drop a string and you see if it drops right on it. What's the other possibility? You look, right? The other possibility is just look, see if it goes, right? If it looks like it's underneath. So there's a major discussion in the poskim, which one is the proper way to measure. And when I say that, I'm not only saying that the machlokas is, or the discussion is, whether one needs to measure with a plumb line. It's whether one is even allowed to measure with a plumb line. Meaning, maybe the halacha is that you're supposed to do it lefi ra'os einav. You should do it as you see it. And if it, sometimes, you measure with a plumb line, it's perfect. But your eyes play tricks on you. And you look at it, and it looks like, no, that can't be right. It's got to be off. So does that mean that it's off? Because it looks like it's off? Are we more interested in the reality? Or are we more interested in what it looks like? So this is an interesting discussion in the poskim. Rabbi Simon quotes from a kuntres Yad Dodi of Pesachim from Rav David Feinstein, where he said that you could estimate visually, that you don't need to do anything more than that, anything more than visually. Rabbi Jachter in Grey Matter, I think this is the first volume of Grey Matter, he has a lot of discussions about Erevin related issues, and he writes that this has been a major machlokes, and he says we find that in some areas of halacha we do estimate based on what appears to people to be correct, while in other areas of halacha we require very precise measurements. For example, truma. How much do we give for truma? Really, midaraisa chita achas pateres kol kri. You don't need to give much at all. You can take just a little bit and give for truma. But the Mishnah tells us that someone who's generous will give 1/40. Someone who's a little stingy will give 1/60. The average guy gives 1/50, 2% for truma. Truma, that 1/50 that's given to the Kohanim has to be an estimate. It's not allowed to be measured precisely as 1/50. It's taken ba'omed. The Mishnah says it has to dafka be taken ba'omed, that you estimate about 1/50. You're not supposed to be measuring out truma. It's a mishnah in the first paragraph of truma. So we have a din dafka to take it with an estimation with what seems like 2%, but not to take it with exact measure. Now, one could argue, yeah, that's over there because there's no when you measure it, you look cheap, and it doesn't really matter anyway if you're right or if you're wrong, because either way, you're giving to the Kohen something that's good enough, because chita achas poteres is kolakri. Okay, but there is such a din. By Tchum Shabbos, we learned in recent Dapim, we're very precise in the way we measure. How we measure mountains, and how we measure valleys, and how we make sure that we use a certain kind of rope that doesn't pull too taut and might add to the measurement, or something that doesn't sag. And we're very, very careful to not just estimate, oh, it looks like 2,000 amos. No, we measure very precisely exactly how to do 2,000 amos. So the question is, what about over here? So Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe, many others held that it's enough to, and obviously it's not, no surprise, Rav David holds this way, Rav Moshe held this way, that it's enough to estimate. That you look, and if it looks like it's directly underneath it, that's all you need. Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg also held this way, that all you need to do is just look and see if it fits. However, there are several machmirim on this issue as well. Rav Feivel Cohn, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter, And many other poskim, I think the Sholem Meshav also maybe, many other poskim are more machmir, and they hold that you need to use dafka, a plumb line, to measure that everything is lined up just perfectly. There's a Gemara in Erev and Daf Tzadi Dalet, the Gemara says that you have to construct halachic walls in the same way that you would that people would normally build walls, kida avdi inshi. Now, when builders and carpenters build a house, so people would not be happy if they came into the house and things were roughly aligned, or, you know, it looks at it, if you squint a little, it looks all right. No, they use very precise measuring utensils, and every room is measured out exactly how what the square footage of each room is supposed to be, and that's the way they measure. That's kida avdi inshi. Builders and carpenters have used plumb line. This is a little bit different than the discussion we had, I think, in the Daf Yomi and Shabbos. We were discussing how precise you have to be to use the most modern equipment to measure things in halacha, or to find things. Let's say looking for bugs. You know, so Aaron Hertz was telling me that in his store, the Vat of Queens has a mashgiach downstairs in the store all day with a light box and with lettuce. All day he's just going through lettuce on the on the light box. And I said, you know, if you go to the Jewish Museum, you'll see Rashi's light box that he used. Obviously, you won't see Rashi. He's like, really? No, you won't see Rashi's light. Rashi didn't have a light box, obviously. To what degree do we have to use modern technology to find things that they never would have found? Meaning our ancestors living not that long ago never ever would have found these things. So the truth is, light box is a bit of a different issue, because with the light box, it just saves work. Meaning, there are certain times you could take a handful of berries, let's say. I've seen this. I've been in the kitchen once, a mashgiach said, I said, what do you need in the light box? Well, just look for a bug. He goes, watch this. He takes a handful of berries, he drops it on the light box, and bugs start scattering. They just shoot out in all directions. He's like, you see, it's a lot easier than looking through each one, that you could just see this one's infested. Okay, we're not going to use that. You know, that's not washable. So sometimes it just makes life easier. But to what degree we have to use modern technology to really measure things more precisely than we ever could have been is really a different issue than this. Because a plumb line is a very simple thing. It's a string with a weight at the end, and you just drop it and see see if it goes straight down. It's not really all that hard to measure, and you know, the Gemara had it. So we're not talking about using the we're just talking about precision. What level of precision is necessary? We're not talking about technology over here. So in terms of what level of precision is necessary, so if Schefter thought that that you should use a plumb line, make sure everything is exactly perfect. Rabbi Jachter quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman told him once that you should definitely use a plumb line, ideally. But if it's impossible to do, if it's efshar, there's no way you're going to construct an eruv that way, it's just too hard to measure it in that spot, so then you can make the eruv even lefira oseinav. You could do it based on a visual. So Rabbi Jackson said that. He spoke to Rav Shechter about that. Rav Shechter said he doesn't understand what that means, that it's efshar. When's a plumb line efshar? Why would that ever be impossible? Like, he didn't understand. In all the eruvin that he's ever done, he never saw a situation where it's impossible to just drop a thing and see if it lines up. So it's tzarich yibin. It's not so clear exactly what that means.
Initially or thereafter? I mean, initially they have to check it in.
Oh, every time you check it. Okay, that relates to a different issue of the chazaka of the Erev and how much you have to assume things move. That's a significant issue, because that can be obviously very, very big inconvenience. Although, there are things other than plumb lines, laser pointers and other things that they can use, but still, checking an Erev would... So maybe we'll have a share about that one time, about how much we can rely on a chazaka of an Erev. Recently, in one of the storms, I think it was not Sandy, it was after Sandy, I think there was a snowstorm on Shabbos, it was, where they told us, assume the Erev is going to be down, and we have to... And in Queens, a lot of the Rabbanim got up and said, assume the Erev is down, and someone told me, V'dam v'Rabbi Arieli Shul, and he got up on Shabbos morning, and he was livid. He was like, what do you mean assume it's down? They never heard of Chazakah? What are you talking... So there's obviously what to discuss. When you can rely on Chazakah, when you can't rely on Chazakah, what exactly the nature of the Chazakah is. That's a good question. Let's assume the original construction of the Erev right now, and not anything more than that. Now, In Europe, apparently, Rabbi Jachter says that he heard from Rav Dov Lifshitz of Zichrono Livracha that a plumb line was used when they would build the Tzuras HaPesach in his hometown in Suwalk, and then Rav Ephraim Ashri also said that in Kovna, Rav Ephraim Ashri said the other way, that in Kovna the Erev that they built was just Lefi Rosenov, that they didn't use a plumb line. So this machlokas is not a new machlokas. This has been going on for a long, long time. What do you use? Rav Shachter just pointed out that you shouldn't have some of the Tzuras HaPesach with estimation and other parts with it, because Meman Shach it's going to be possible. Meaning if you're a Lefira Os Einov person, then it's got to be Lefira Os Einov. It's got to look good. And if it doesn't look good, even if it is good, then it's no good. And if you're a person who believes that it needs to be precise, you use the plumb line, so then it's got to be good. And if it's not good, even though it looks good, then it's no good. So you have to at least be consistent in your shitos. Now Rabbi Simon brings a raya that you could do it Lefira Os Einov. He gets involved in measuring shiurim in general and how we measure shiurim. There's a Mishnah Maseches Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah says Kebeitza Sha'amru Lo Gadola V'lo Katana Ela Beinonis. When we talk about the shiur kebeitza, we don't talk about a large kebeitza, we don't talk about a small kebeitza, an average size beitza. So that's Rav Shachter used to always point out to us. You ever wonder why when you go into the store, the eggs that you look at, they have large eggs, they have extra large eggs, and they have jumbo eggs? What happened to all the medium eggs, right? The shir kebetz is supposed to be the medium. So a lot of times when people try to figure out shiurim, you know, I've heard Rabbanim give shiurim on the topic of shiurim, and they say that they'll go to the supermarket, and they see the large, and they see the extra large and the jumbo, so they figure extra large must be another word for medium, and it's just marketing. And they'll measure based on that, with water displacement or whatever, based on that. That's not so pashut at all. It could very well, Rav Shachter told us that in the kashrus industry, at least what they told him in the OU offices, is that all the medium and small eggs, they send off to like places like Entenmann's and these massive bakeries, because people don't like to use those kinds of eggs. They like to have sizable eggs. So all the medium, so it's not, they just don't make it to the shelves in the supermarket, but they do exist. That there is such a thing that exists out there. But anyway, the mission says that a kebetza, whenever we say kebetza, it doesn't mean a large egg, it doesn't mean a small egg, it means an average egg. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, maybe gedola sheba gedolos, uketana sheba ketanos, take the biggest one you could possibly find, take the smallest one you could possibly find, v'nosin l'toch hamayim v'cholik es hamayim, and you should do water displacement with both of them, and the average, the half of that is an average size egg. Amrav Yosi v'chi mimo dieni ezehu gedola v'ezehu katana. He says, well, I don't know what the biggest egg is. I don't know what the smallest egg is. I don't know how many eggs I have to look at to like figure out what's the biggest one and what's the smallest one. Look at what looks like an average egg. If someone shows you an egg and you say, oh, that's big, so that's not average. If someone shows you an egg and you're like, it's so tiny, so that's not average. It should look like an average egg. Akolofi daito shel roa. So says the Chaznish in the Kuntras Hashiurim. He explains the Mishnah as follows. So again, what did we say? Beitza Shamru, the Tanakhama says, Lo gadol v'lo katan el beinonis. Rabbi Yehuda said, you take the biggest, the smallest, and you split the difference. And Rabbi Yossi says, what do you know about big, small? You just judge it based on what you could judge it. So says the Chazanish, V'nira, the Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Yossi, Hashir mitchila nitan l'fiya omer. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that you're going to have to figure it out just based on your estimation. Just like we do the Trumas and Maestros, you take it based on an estimation. Shiurim, which we think if there's one area of halacha that precision is required, when it comes to shiurim, he says these shiurim that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, all shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, by the way. That's an important fact. The Gemara says in a couple of places. Gemara raises a kasha. How could you say shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai? It's a pasuk, eretz chita, sar, gefen, teina. And each word in the pasuk teaches me a different shiur, so it can't possibly be halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Gemara answers, that pasuk is just an asmachta. All shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam in Akdama to the Perashah Mishnayos explains that there are two types of halachos that we have that came to that we only know through Moshe at Har Sinai, and we don't have any clear evidence for in the Torah itself. One is what's called Perushim HaMekubalim, L'moshe Misinai, and the other is what's called Halacha L'moshe Misinai. And the second one seems to be more well known, but Perushma Mukbalim, he says, for instance, is the Pasuk says that on the Yantav of Sukkot, the one is supposed to take a pre-Eitz Hadar. So what's a pre-Eitz Hadar? A watermelon is a beautiful fruit, and there are lots of beautiful fruits. So what's a pre-Eitz Hadar? How do I know that it's an Esrog? So that's Perusha Mekuba L'moshe Misinai. The Torah tells us something, and we know the Torah is telling us something. We know, we could point to the words in the Pasuk, that that's what, the Torah is trying to tell me something here, but we have no way possible to translate those words without some sort of Mesorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how you type the word. It means an Esrog. That's Perushim HaMekubalim L'moshe Misinai. Halacha L'moshe Misinai is the Torah never said anything. It's just Stam. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu outside of the Torah Shebuksav. It's not explaining anything in Torah Shebuksav. Completely outside of Torah Shebuksav, we have Halacha L'moshe Misinai. On both of those areas of Halacha, the Rambam writes, you can never have a machlokas. Not in a Perushim HaMekubal, not in Halacha L'moshe Misinai. This is part of the Rambam's big push to say that our Mesorah, the reason we have so much machlokas, has nothing to do with weakness in our Mesorah, with weakness in transmitting what we got at Har Sinai. He says, everything we've got at Har Sinai, we know it 100% perfectly today. We have it exactly as we got at Har Sinai. There was no game of telephone where things got corrupted. Where did machlokas creep in? He said machlokas crept in as new situations arose, and we needed to apply those midos shatan drashas pehen and the derech halimut to be able to figure out the halacha. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down from Har Sinai and say, "Listen, if you're in Israel and it's Motzai Shabbos and you want to send a fax to America, so this is what you can do, you can't do. It depends how many lights the fax machine has." He couldn't go through every single situation. He gave us rules, and we had to apply the rules. The weak came in our ability to apply the rules. That's where some Talmidim saw it this way, others saw it this way. That's what the Mishnah means when Rabbu Talmid Shammai v'Hillel Shloshim Shu Kol Tzarchan. That's when Rabbu Machlokas b'Yisrael. It doesn't mean that they didn't listen to what the Rebbe got from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that we got clear, and then the right is, look at all the people from Mekubal. No one in history came along and said, "I think it should be a pomegranate, not an esrog." Never happened. The Gemara says it happened. The Gemara says, maybe it's a rimon. A rimon is a very nice pre-Eitz Hadar. So the Rambam says, no, the Gemara doesn't mean that that's what happened. What the Gemara means is, from the Pasuk, is there any way to show that it's an Esrog? Is there any way to back up what we already know to be true from Pirush HaMekubal? So the Gemara says, yeah, there's a way to back it up. Pre-Eitz Hadar, Hadar Milano, Mishana Lashana. Okay, there are hints to it in the Pasuk. But anyway, so this is, says one of the areas of Halacha that's not a Pirush HaMekubal, it's pure halachal Moshe Misinai, is shiurim chatzitzin and mechitzin. So shiurim and mechitzin, which is our topic in Erevin, are all halachal Moshe Misinai. So says the Chazanish, and when it was given the Moshe Misinai, it was given lefi omed daito shel adam, that a person should be able to estimate. Umashe nira lo la'adam zehu shiuro. Whatever it seems like it is, that's what it is. Va'amnam adavar masur l'chacham l'kvoa, Gidrei Ashir l'kol Yisrael, u'kmo sha'amru chacham kezayis, sha'amru ze aguri, kesa'oru zu midbaris, kadasha zu mitzvis. The Chum framed it a little bit for us. When they said kezayis, they said, okay, which kind of zayis? The Chum could tell us which kind of zaysim to look at. But not to measure precisely with a... I remember when my sister came back from Michlala. I won't give away which sister. I had three sisters that went to Mechla. One of my sisters came back from Mechla. She brought me back a halachic measuring cup where it had Grachnoe and Reb Chaim and Chazanish. It had a halachic measuring cup. So this Chazanish would say, "Measuring cup? What are you talking about, measuring cup? You have to. We can frame the shiurim to get a basic idea of what you're looking at." And the Chazanish had some very big shiurim in terms of what he was looking at, but it should be lefi omedaito. Lo shenemer lemoshe kach, el nemer stam via beninis, el cham inu bedavar v'kavu l'kol yisol shekazayis aguri, sa'oru midbaris v'adasha mitzvitz, heima beninim. Cham mor kovei for us, what is average? V'inei Rabbi Yehudu beizdino chivuas ha-yachid, lita la gedola v'akatana, ulechalkam, af shekatana v'agedola, hum masu l'daito shel roa. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita in the Mishnah is, take the big one, take the small one. What's big, what's small? Figure it out. That's up to your own das. And then start measuring. But it all starts with your own estimation of what's big, what's small. But mikol makom ze adif milimser lo ba'omer esabem nisha b'zem osif milishla adiktuk b'yoser. Meaning, if we just say pick what you think is average, so that's a little too random according to Rabbi Yehuda. It needs to be with a little bit more precision, but still lefi omedaito. And Rabbi Yossi holds, says Chazanish, since anyway you're not going to be precise, anyway it's only going to be an estimation, so who's going to tell you what's the biggest, what's the smallest? Just pick what you think is a beinoni. So it could be the same is true, legabe kana, kana shal gabe amudim. When we're talking about making a tzuris of Pesach, who says that the mechitzin has to be with bedikto gadol, that has to be exactly 100% precise? Maybe, says Rabbi Simon, maybe according to this chazanish, just like shiurim, we're not given with the most perfect precision, mechitzin also are not given most perfect precision. The other source Rabbi Simon quotes in this machlokas we just discussed on Shabbos a little bit is the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yerdei Chelek Beis and Kuf Mem Vav, where Moshe writes as follows. He talks about the ribua of tefillin. The halacha is that tefillin have to be square. By the way, that's another halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That tefillin need to be square, that they need to be black. That's all halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That's not a pirush hamakubal l'Moshe Misinai, because there's no reference to color made. And if the Torah would have referenced color, we just didn't know what the color meant, so that would be a pirush hamakubal. The Torah doesn't reference anything about color. It just says you're supposed to put an os al yadecha to tafos ben enecha, figure it out. So halacha l'Moshe Misinai tells us all a lot of the details of tefillin. But says Rav Moshe, Va'agav, echtov asher be'inyan medidas ribua shel tefillin gam b'lo ze lo shayich lahatzrich microscope. It can't be, says Rav Moshe, that you need to use a microscope to measure your ribua of the tefillin. Tar ribua isa b'simulam beisif lametes ta'inu shi ribua mechuvan orcho karachvo kidei sheyavolem oso alachson shomer chazal kol amsub ribua amsub cheichum shi balachsona. The Shulchan Aruch says, you know how you measure that it's a square? Measure the diagonal. If the sides of the square are 1, the diagonal is 1.4, right? And says Rav Moshe, but if you do math, if you do geometry, it's not exactly 1.4. If you do your a squared plus b squared equals c squared, it's close, it's very close, but it's not quite exactly that it's going to come out that way. He says, it's actually incorrect geometrically. The Tosus already points this out in Masechta Sukkah, and the Poskim will bring it. So he says, v'nimtza shekasha gam l'chadchila tefillin shem rubayin mamish she'ena alachson m'chuvin ad haribua she'ena m'chuvin shuba alachson m'chuvin b'treichum she'yoser v'chulei. He says, obviously, it doesn't need to be exactly precise. He says, v'chein v'adai b'ribua tefillin, it's where it's ef shel tzamtzim, there's no way you're going to measure it precisely, there's no way that you have to measure it with a microscope. And he says, af sheklapei shamaya inu mutzumtzum, upela al masha kosov sha'griz ha'levi zatzal, ha'yusavar she'esh maila, kishayimdudu ribua de tefillin b'microscope. And he says, it's a pella, I don't believe that you told me that the Brisker Rav held that if there's a mila to measure the tefillin with a microscope to make sure that they're perfectly square. Now Rav Moshe is not saying, I don't believe that the Brisker Rav held that you have to measure with a microscope. That vadai he wouldn't believe, because that doesn't make any sense. I mean, what did our Zaydis do when they didn't have a microscope? That can't be. He says, I don't believe that the Brisker Rav held it was a mila. I can't even believe he said it as a chumrah. As a maila, because it's ridiculous. I mean, Rav Moshe thought that was well beyond what the halacha would ever require. So again, these makaros lead one to believe that maybe an estimation is more in line. But again, like I said before, microscope is a little different than plumb line. Plumb line is a caveman had a plumb line. They didn't have a microscope.
The problem with this discussion about whether you need the precision or not could be totally in the focus of Pete Eger and the Sivas. According to Pete Eger, you really need everything touching, but you have a halakhic principle of
gnasic
to get around it. But really, it should connect. Whereas according to the Nesivos, you're only going for a tzura anyway. So as long as Lufi wrote Eino, it's like
very
a
good.
Tzura.
Could very well be. Yeah, sounds good. I'll take it. Okay, shkayach. On that note.